Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this July 15th, 2025, I have your host, James, here, and I'm joined by some of my favorite people. We have the Historic Point boss with us right now. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves so the audience can put a voice to the name. And, of course, you know this voice and this man right here joining us right now, Mr. Yeah. Hittner.
Yes, good day. Mike Hittner from Historic Point Boss, and hello to everybody in Radioland.
Appreciate you being here, Mike. Always good to talk with you. And joining us today, Bill Parker. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, I am with one of the Civil War reenacting units that will be at Point Bass, and I'm also with the Southwood County Historical Museum as a military historian.
Really know your stuff. We got some people here that can really bring some education to us, to people like me, I should say, especially. We're going to get into the event itself now and kind of touch on what's going on. Civil War Days is happening over at the Historic Point Boss at 364 Wakeley Road, going on July 26th and 27th from 10 to 4 on Saturday and 10 to 3 on Sunday. We'll get into admission and details as we go along. But Bill, when it comes to these things, we've heard about Civil War reenactments and that in pop culture and TV movies and a bunch, but I don't know how many people have actually been a part of them or really know what to expect when taking one in. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Civil War reenactments are kind of a formal affair where you'll learn how artillery soldiers and all Civil War soldiers lived, fought, marched, how they handled their weapons, how they drilled, how they fought their battles down to a tactical level. The battles are pretty formal in themselves, where the battles are planned out by officers in advance and told. They tell the units where they're supposed to go and do what they're supposed to do.
And what we're seeing in these reenactments is a live kind of retelling of the events that some of the events that happened, right?
This would also be for James and Bill is a skirmish, because there was no battles fought in this area, certainly.
And
we're doing this for several reasons. As we wanted to do this, Bill has wanted to do this probably 20 years back, but two of the Wakeley sons were in the Civil War for the Union, and one son-in-law. So we just received from a family out of New Mexico the son-in-law to the Wakeley family, about, I don't know, what do you think, Bill, 25, 30 letters that were written back and forth between his wife and himself. And so those are heirloom letters, basically.
At least 25 to 30, if not more.
Yeah, and when Bill was saying that they organized these skirmishes and everything, basically for our audience and for you, James, it's kind of choreographed.
Yeah.
You know, because they kind of work in advance and they know what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. so, and we'll have both Union soldiers here and Confederate soldiers also. So we'll have both sides represented here. And I think, I don't know if Bill knows what he's going to be yet, but they sometimes tell him on the day of or so. They told him to bring both uniforms. So.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, I like it. Bill, I should let you know I'm an actor by trade, so I'm loving all of this for a lot of reasons as a historian nerd and as an actor. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying the behind-the-curtain look of some of this, and I know the audience will be too. So from looking at the outline of the day ahead for this event, the skirmish will begin about 1:30 for each of the days?
Yeah. I actually have the event schedule right in front of me, and 1:30 both days will be the battle. The battles tend to last about a half hour to 45 minutes, and it's also the busiest part of the day.
After that, it looks like there's artillery demonstrations, infantry drills, cavalry demonstration, medical scenarios, and a period dance on Saturday night.
Yeah. Artillery drills are more about showing the public what it takes to make each gun fire, because that gun don't fire without the rest of the team. It takes quite a few people to handle the piece.
Again, you know, going to pop culture, movies, a lot of this stuff, where we take a lot of the information from these things. If you're not fortunate enough to know somebody who was, an ancestor that was a part of the war and maybe handed down stories or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. The perspective that I think this event gives to people and the opportunity for that, we are so used to modern firearms. We are so used to and accustomed to so many of these things. I think even that, mm-hmm. even if you think you know it, seeing it in action is a completely different thing than reading it in a book or something along those lines. That part of this feels like a really important part.
Oh, yes. Specifically with the handling of these older period weapons, you know, you watch a movie on firing a musket and they can fire in the movies multiple rounds a minute, and that strictly is not a case. I mean, a good infantryman during the Civil War could fire at maximum 3 rounds in 1 minute, but in the movies it makes it look like they're firing way more than they could.
Yeah. It's always interesting in movies when you see nobody reload. Nobody ever has to reload in movies. It just seems real nice that you see that.
Well, I think in the modern day movies, I think they want action, and so they can't wait for that action.
Yeah. Go ahead.
In fact, when I was in the infantry, I did an event where we actually timed out how long each soldier to fire 3 rounds. The best I could clock in at for 3 rounds was 1:15.
Wow.
So I'm a little bit slower than a actual Civil War soldier.
Well, maybe, Bill, you haven't got anybody shooting at you.
Yeah. Might speed you up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to also mention this is going to be featuring troops from the 2nd Wisconsin, the Iron Brigade, 6th Wisconsin Light Artillery, 41st Virginia, McAllister's Battery, Wyatt's Battery, and the 1st Alabama Cavalry and 1st Alabama Field Hospital, all going to be involved with this as well, Bill.
So far, all of those units are going to be involved, except we had one cancellation. Wyatt's Battery could not make it.
Good to know.
What'll be kind of interesting too, James, for the public is that we'll have a Civil War era interpretation of a surgeon and his tools, you know, like a field hospital and all that sort of thing. So I think it'll be kind of interesting to see what kind of tools they use. You know, fairly, I would say, primitive by today's standards, but still probably the state of the art at the time.
You know, and it's interesting to have Bill on here because, you know, most of the time when you and I get together, Mike, and we're talking about this to our point boss, and we're talking about it, it's very similar to a conversation I have with Phil Brown over at the Southwick County Historical Museum. And there's some differences, of course, but one of the things that Phil likes to touch on whenever they have events over there or, you know, different things that they bring over that are a little more touchable or a little more movable, the Historic Point Boss is a living, breathing museum. It's really an opportunity for you to be able to see and experience things all year long, mind you, and your feeling and your experiencing of your ancestors, of all of our ancestors in one way or another. And I find that to be so vital in teaching history to the younger generations.
Sure. Bill, would you want to mention about the different artifacts and things from Southwood County Historical and from your collection you're going to bring over for the people to see in the Wakely House?
Yeah, most of what is in the Southwood County Historical Museum's military archives is actually post-war, in the sense we had a very active Civil War veterans group located right in Wisconsin Rapids called the Grand Army of the Republic. Their building does not exist anymore. In fact, it's parking lot for the meet-in now. But what we do have is a few artifacts left from that GAR post, like a flag, all their records, their ribbons. That is going to be on display there. We got a sword coming from that belonged to a soldier in the 1st Wisconsin Cavalry in the museum. That will be on display. A photograph of a New York soldier, and his name escapes my mind at the moment, but he moved to Rapids post-war. He was a prisoner of war at Andersonville, and we have some trench art pieces that he made, like a photo frame of himself while he was a prisoner of war at Andersonville. And from my own collection, I got a piece that it's actually a book from the reunion of the 12th Wisconsin Infantry. And this was the same unit that the Wakely brothers belonged to, Otis and Newbold. And in this reunion book dated 1902, it lists Newbold Wakely attending the 1902 12th Wisconsin reunion in Wisconsin.
Wow. Wow, is that cool.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty amazing.
And I also have some GAR ribbons that are from Adams County that I'm going to be putting on display there as well.
That's amazing. Now, we'll get into some more of the details and different things that you can look forward to about the event and price and some of those things. I would like to just take a minute with both of you, if we could, to talk a little bit about the purpose of this event and the meaning of it and everything. And I will say right out the gate, just going back to our pregame, Mike, and the conversation you and I were having, certainly everybody knows the phrase, if you don't learn history, you're doomed to repeat it. I think that goes without saying, hopefully, but if it doesn't, it needs to be set. But there is also the side of this of perspective, I think, that they can give us very often. Regardless of your feelings, your political sides, any of these things or anything like that, this history is our history, whether you're from the South or the North, whether you had an ancestor that fought in the Civil War, or you're a family like mine that immigrated this country afterwards or something like that. This is our history. And there is not only a pride that can come from it, but a perspective that can only be brought from history. There's nothing else that can give this kind of perspective and us giving us an idea, whether we're talking about our soldiers in war or soldiers that could be in war, and the thing, the advantages and the positives that they have that our previous soldiers didn't, or the times that we're in. And sometimes we get so caught up in the daily news and how heavy things can be and stuff. And I think if you look back in history and look at this time and you're like, okay, yeah, we can handle this. Right. Yeah, we've handled worse. Oh, we've been through things like this before. Our country is a teenager compared to other countries in the world, but our history is that of a grown man in many ways.
Yeah, we have to, like you were talking, James, and I applaud that, we have to own our history and recognize it. This is our history. It was a certain time in our history when things were probably at its grayest point, you know, since the revolution, and we have to own that, and a lot of times we try to forget about those things or gloss over them, and you can even see that in some of our history books nowadays. You know, they kind of take a different perspective and everything, but this is just to own this and recognize this and to really celebrate it for what it was.
I'd like to think, too, for those of us in the North, that this gives us an opportunity, too, to have some empathy and some understanding with our brothers and sisters in the South. I don't like the divide that exists in our country sometimes, and I love seeing connections and things that bring us together more than separate us, and I really truly think events like this bring us more together. They are a shared history, and I think that goes a lot farther than we really realize sometimes. And this is a really cool and interesting event, too. How often do you see something like that? You don't get to see these kind of things, especially it's getting less and less. Mike, you were touching on this before about how many of these events go on anymore.
Yeah, I think, Bill, what were you saying? I think when we talked about it, maybe 10 or 12 events 15 or 20 years ago, down now to about 4 events in the state of Wisconsin, counting ours.
There's about 5 events in the state of Wisconsin. None of them are in central Wisconsin. There's one, in fact, there's one this weekend. It's in Menominee Falls, right outside of Milwaukee. There's Kaukauna with the Greeno Mansion, Pinecrest Village in Manitowoc, and that's the biggest Civil War reenactment in the state of Wisconsin currently. And there's also an event in Coon Valley over by La Crosse, the Norskedalen event, and that's usually in early October. Now, there are a couple of living histories at different Pioneer Fests that are out there, but they're not fully Civil War. Mm-hmm. I know of a couple of those that go on.
Excellent. I appreciate that, Phil.
I would also like to chime in, too, about the question Mike answered earlier about our shared history. I had three Union ancestors that fought in the American Civil War. None of them for the state of Wisconsin. All of them were Union. They served in the Indiana Infantry, various units. And I'm in Confederate gray more than I am Union blue. I look at it this way. I am honoring my Union ancestors because you can't tell their side of the story without the Confederates.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Bill. Yeah, that's a good point.
Bill, the question I've got in the back of my mind, and I guess I haven't said it, is do you get more people want to represent the Union versus the Confederate side, and is it hard to get people to represent the Confederate side?
Thank you, Mike. I wanted to ask it. You did, though. Thank you.
There was a time prior to, I would say, about 2017, when a lot of the monuments started coming down, that you had way more Confederates than Union as just that recent.
Mm.
But with the shift in political correctness and popular culture, it has gone more to the Union side now.
Interesting. This is funny for me when I can't help myself thinking about being in your shoes, Bill, or some of the other participants. The actor in me would want to be on the South side, and the mm-hmm. of course Midwesterner in me wants to represent the Union. I appreciate your perspective on this too, of not only having done both and been in both uniforms, but the purposes and the feeling for you behind mm-hmm. that. I imagine that's for a lot of people that the case when it comes to this. We are more connected than we realize, and I think events like this really bring that to the front. I did want to come back.
Well,
go ahead, Bill.
Let me touch into a little bit about that there. There are Confederate soldiers buried in Wisconsin, and there were Confederate units that even helped found towns within the state of Wisconsin. Crandon, coming to mind, was formed. The town was formed by soldiers from Kentucky's Orphan Brigade that could not go home after the war. So they moved up north and founded their own lumbering community in the town of Crandon. And they still honor their Confederate ancestry up there to this day with hosting Kentucky Days in Crandon, Wisconsin.
That's really interesting.
So there is a Confederate history within the state of Wisconsin.
I want to just touch on again the Civil War artifacts that will be on display, and that is such an interesting and fun part of this. Certainly the costumes and so many of the work that everybody puts into it. The period dance to kind of wrap this up is really nice. I just wanted to mention, I think that's a very cool way to kind of wrap things up on Saturday night.
And those gals will...
on Saturday.
The gals that will be there that are with the soldiers will be wearing the hoop skirts and the whole thing. It'll be worth the admission alone just to come and watch it.
Yes. Yeah.
And certainly can participate in it if you like.
See, Mike, that you're going to have food and beverages by Hangry's Food Truck. That's going to be awesome. So you got people taken care of then. And admission, if you've been a part of the Civil War days in years past, or you've been a part of events at the Historic Point Boss, you can already fill in this part. You know what the prices are, because these guys over there, they, no matter how much I try to tell Mike, you know, you can up those, you can change. Nope. They keep them the same for a reason. And I always appreciate that, Mike, that you guys do that.
$5 for adults and $3 for students. Especially want to keep the students one down so that we can get as many students involved, because that's our future history as far as the people that are going to carry this forward. So
yeah, and that's such a big part of this.
And actually, that's kind of cheap compared to most events within the state. Pinecrest, I believe, is charging $15 a head to come through. We're only $5.
It's incredible. They're really great people over there at the Historic Point Boss. We appreciate that out of you guys, and appreciate the time from both of you and bringing this event to our area and giving us a chance to relive some history and have a good time while we're at it as well. It's a lot of fun. We appreciate it. And appreciate the time, you two. Thanks a lot for joining us, Bill.
Yeah.
And Mike, thank you as always.
Thanks, James and WFHR.
Remember, you can find out more about everything we've talked about today at historicpointboss.com. Just go over there, bookmark that page. Keep it in mind as well as other events like their Whodunit is coming up in August, and plenty of other great things going on over at our friends at the Historic Point Boss at 364 Wakely Road, right in Nakusa. And a big thank you to all of you for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.com.